We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
I've never messed up the intro in my life. Ever in my life. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Heat Beat post-game show. I'm so shook. This game has me all over the place. That was the weirdest ending I've ever seen in my life.
That literally was what happened to Jimmy Butler when he didn't want to use that
timeout.
I'm
Jimmy right now. I'm Jimmy lobbing a pass to Goran as Brook Lopez comes to help at the end of that game. I can't even say the intro I've said for like 7 fucking years on this show. With me today is producer and co-founder Brian Goins.
Guys, I don't feel anything right now in my body. Like, what's happening?
I don't feel my fingers. I don't feel anything. Also joining us today is a homie, friend of the show, Alex Solana of 560 and 790 The Ticket.
Fuck Steve Javy.
Fuck Steve Javy. We're going to get into why these refs and the 2-minute report is going to be longer than a Harry Potter book.
Bro, 48-minute report, man.
48. And also joining us today, maiden voyage on the program, the homie from the Dan Le Batard Show at ESPN, Anthony Kalatis, a.k.a. Ant, a.k.a. Tony. What's up?
What is up, my good people? Good thing to be here on the first episode that I've ever been on Heatbeat. Also, with the worst last couple minutes of any game I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been playing basketball since I was 6 years old. I've never seen what we just saw right now.
That was such dog shit. By the way, we are all, except for Brian, FIU sports media alumni here. Shout out to Radiate FM, whatever it's called. What's it called now?
The Roar.
Fuse them?
The Roar. Shout out to The Roar.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
I keep tabs lifer. on
Alex
my,
is a lifer.
He's the only guy, before we start talking, he's the only guy that people reach out to get his take on things. FIU people write stuff in his, you know, on his journey. Like, it's all bullshit
right now. I don't mind Miami Heat basketball, guys. You feel the heat down in your soul.
Wait a second. Oh. We got another guest joining us right now, our statistician and professional photoshopper, Christian Hernandez.
I was told it's late and not to scream, but I really want to scream.
Scream.
Fucking scream, dude. Let's start with the end of that game. I don't know what the fuck was going on with Jimmy all game. I mean, just did he looked out of sorts.
He was hurt.
He did not look like himself.
I think he was.
I don't even know if it was hurt.
Did you not see him during that entire first, like the end of the third quarter towards like maybe the 7 minute mark of the fourth quarter? He kept going toward the sideline looking to see if he was going to like check back into the game. And he had an ice pack on his wrist. And you know he's had wrist issues all year.
Is this Heat beat MD?
You can go back and watch the game later on at midnight tonight on ESPN. I'm sure they'll put it back on. Watch the end of the third quarter, fourth quarters. He's clearly putting something on his hand. It's a nice back.
I don't know, man. He looked mentally out of it at the end of that game. Lobbed that weird-ass pass to Goran. Got stolen. Guys, I don't know about you. I was like 60% sure he was going to miss those free throws.
Me too.
Like, Alex, like, I'm watching that, and it felt like PKs, right? Because there's nobody, right? There's nobody going to rebound. Everyone's kind of standing behind with the arms linked. You know what I mean? It felt like EPL final, and I was pretty sure that that might not go in.
Yeah. By the way, oh, well, I had guts, but I was so scared. And I think that's the first time I've ever seen that, by the way. Like, a game ending on free throws with no players were allowed on the court or whatever. Yeah. No players were allowed in the arc. And then, they weren't even given a chance to do something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody take the line with double zeros on the shot clock or on the game clock. That was
the
bizarre.
The last time was probably the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I forgot. That doesn't count. That's a fake game. I don't know about you, but, like, the way that he had played all game, and even though he kind of had those big moments in the last game, he just looked so out of sorts that I was nervous that he was going to miss both. But, I mean, it was quiet, and then there was like that weird crowd noise, and it was ominous. It felt ominous. He didn't look right. I was scared. I was so scared.
So I had actually texted a group of buddies of mine. I was like, he won't miss both of these, and we'll go to overtime and extend this game. But the interesting thing to me is this. Jimmy is supposedly the alpha male, you know, lead dog of this team. Yet I don't know how many lead dog alpha males of a team would have. How many shots did he shoot today? 7, 8?
Yeah, it was,
I don't know the exact
10.
Number.
Yeah.
It was under 10. He had 10 points, a game removed from having 40 and being like, Jimmy is the best player in the bubble today. Like, where is the discrepancy here? Because how do we – and we all know basketball, okay? How do we really put this into just – I'm so frustrated with Jimmy. I can't even –
It was three,
it's,
three
it's,
of
it's
eight.
It's a win. Is it? Okay, 3 of 8. 3 of 8. How do we put this into perspective?
Isn't
somebody who scores 40, then the next game they score 10. How is that your best player?
Isn't why that's what makes Jimmy so unique as your leading player, right? Your star, where, yes, he can go off some nights, but you don't expect him to do that on a night-in, night-out basis. What makes him so unique is, while maybe he wasn't shooting the ball so well, he still impacted so many different areas of the floor. And, like, we saw that tonight. He was switching so well on Giannis. And at one point, I don't know if this is true, but Doris said this, and I'm buying all in on if Doris said it, where he told Spo going into a timeout with, like, 4 minutes left, I want Giannis. Give me Giannis. That's what you want out of your star player. And we know the whole storyline that ESPN is pushing so hard that Giannis – doesn't want to cover Jimmy, and you know that's going to be on First Take tomorrow for 2 hours. So
can't wait.
And of course, the final play, he fucking fouls him.
Right. And of course, but I will say, for everything you just said, Ant, at the end, he got it done. Right? Like, it was bullshit. All of that was bullshit.
Barely.
Yeah, but at the end, guess what? We're not going to remember that 20 years from now. We'll remember.
Oh, I will.
Jimmy won the game. Jimmy won the game.
He Twitter remembers it all, man. He Twitter remembers it all. I remember that Henry Walker shot in Orlando. We'll remember.
Oh my God.
I'm just spinning my own narrative here. I'm spinning my own narrative.
I was going to say, you have us remembering this game 20 years from now. It's like, this is some pivotal game.
This is the game that they're going to
play
Giannis
comes,
when they pitch Giannis in 2021.
Yeah, they're going to play the film over and over. Christian, how the hell do we even begin to unpack what the fuck happened?
The Heat won by 10. If the refs had actually been doing their jobs. That was one of the most frustrating games I've ever seen in my life, honestly.
Yeah.
But it was really frustrating.
Like the off-on of it.
Because we were playing with house money, man. Yeah. This game was awesome. Honestly, this game was a ton of fun, mostly because I was in a place where I could just enjoy myself. If they had lost tonight, no skin off my back. Like, you know, I still don't think that they can sweep the Bucks, but can you imagine? We're talking about possibilities right now.
That's still my pick. That's still my pick, guys.
Percentage
guys,
of the way yet. That cocky Heat fan is back.
I haven't been wrong
how,
yet.
How cocky – are we close to cocky Heat fan, like, in full force back?
Yes.
How close are we? Are we, like, one more game – are we, like, a Duncan Robinson, like, 7 of 8 game away from being peak? Like, we're fucking winning the championship and nothing's going to stop
us. That's going to happen in game 4 because Duncan Robinson's a front runner.
What? I would just say tread lightly on being 100% back because the stupid fucking Celtics await us. Like that's my only trepidation with saying I'm 100% cocky Heat fan is back. I think we're 90% back. And you win this series, we're at 95, but then you have to play stupid Jason Tatum and stupid Marcus
Smart.
Sounds
like you're calling that other series. I mean, the other series isn't over yet.
Seriously.
I mean, come on. What do we do? Heat are going to lose four straight? I meant the Raptors.
He's talking about the Raptors.
I'm talking about the Raptors series.
That's right. You got to remember.
I forgot.
Remember,
out he's the
always
sorry.
Thinking
sorry.
Raptors, so try to sorry. Think.
Sorry. There's a spin on this.
I forget we're talking to Justin Trudeau over here. My apologies.
There's spin. Dude. Goran Dragic, I mean, I know that he didn't shoot the ball particularly well. The second half, those back-to-back threes, the fucking balls on this guy. And the balls on Goran Dragic to be the Heat's best player of this playoff run. I mean, forget Jimmy's 40-point game. That was incredible, and that's going to be a forever moment. Throughout the entirety of this postseason, and even most of the bubble, Goran Dragic has been their best player, and I don't even think it's a question. And I think I made fun of Jack last episode because he kind of gave Goran some props defensively. I don't think he's been as bad as I thought he'd be. He's been an offensive force. He's been the only other guy other than Jimmy and Tyler to really create his own shot effortlessly. That dude, lifer.
Do you think that he was fed up with the Kendrick Nunn battle for minutes, right? Like once Kendrick Nunn came down with COVID, he was like, all right, okay, all right, let's go. It's my time to shine. He honestly has been, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like... Bubble Goran, is he? Would you put him in the top 7 of guards in the East in the bubble?
It's certainly up there. I was thinking today, like, has Goran been the best point guard in the playoffs so far? And I know that. I mean, I think you got to give that to Dame right off bat, and then Chris Paul. But after that,
hold on, Jamal Murray. Hold on, Murray. Hold on.
I look at Jamal Murray as a two guard. You know what I mean? Those are more off guards, right? Like I'm thinking like mainly point guards, but you know, like as big of a Kyle Lowry guy as I am, Goran's completely outplayed Kyle this postseason. I don't even think that's a question.
He's been incredible, man. Like honestly, he's been incredible. He's a guy that we've kind of pushed to the side as okay. Goran's Goran, right? He's gonna be there. He's gonna give you something in the teens. He's a glue guy. He's a team guy. They have him for wired up. He's never gonna say anything bad. All of a sudden, he's been an offensive force, getting into the paint on huge trees like Brook Lopez and Giannis and all these guys, and he's just getting buckets inside, which is something I don't think any of us had him doing, scoring at such a clip in the paint.
I mean, he's shooting like 43% from three in the playoffs right now, which is just huge for them. And it's shots, Christian, off the dribble, spotting up, off pick and pop. So they're using him a ton as a screener this series. So I talked about this a little bit last show. But so the big thing that Miami's doing now is they're having Dragic and Tyler Hero screen for Jimmy Butler. And what that's doing is really taking Brook Lopez and Giannis out of the play. So, and if you take those two guys out of the play and you run your little two-man game over there, it really lets either Goran pop and get open for three, because today they sent the guy to drop to help Jimmy. Right, last game they were really switching George Hill onto Butler, and he was cooking them in the kind of the mid-range area. This game, Goran's really popping out for some threes because they're overplaying Jimmy, and that's kind of what you get when you take out your two big defensive players in the series. So him as the screener has been incredible, and off ball as well. I mean, he's really helping Duncan too. I mean, I really want to. I know that Duncan hasn't had like the big game yet, but what he's doing off ball with his off ball screens and the way he's going, kind of he's cutting baseline and around back. He's always moving, getting guys tired. What he's doing is incredible, and I don't think that as rest in peace Spoon, the box score watchers aren't going to see that. But he's been incredible. But Goran's been absolutely... Christian, I know that's your guy.
Yeah, I love Goran. Was that a question?
I don't know. I was just kind of tossing it to you if you had a lingering Goran thought before he shifted gears.
No,
I was kind of throwing you a little lob.
Yeah, no. I mean, Goran threw... Or no, I think it was Tyler threw a great lob tonight to Bam. And
it was outstanding.
He's the guy who has just been such a pleasant surprise. Like, the fact that he is holding up defensively against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, like... I made a point to like really watch him like towards the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he has become so much better about really reading the defense, seeing when he has to switch and really, you know, switch onto a different guy and make sure that there's always a body on someone. His awareness has really grown, and that's why you're able to play him 32 minutes in a game like tonight where you're trying to beat the best team in the NBA.
So Dragic, by the way, when he's on the court, they're outscoring teams by an 11 net rating. And when he's off the court, they're minus one. That's a huge swing. And he's one of the only guys, him and Bam are two of the only guys that when they sit are minus. Bam's, by the way, when Bam's on the court, the Heat are outscoring opponents by 16.5 net rating. And when he's off the court in the playoffs, minus 10.
By the way, I love a Goran that's feeling himself. There's something about a European player who's feeling himself in the playoffs. There was a stretch in the second quarter. Goran comes up, top of the key, hits two threes back-to-back. He ends up doing a little heat check, step back. He missed over Chris Middleton. He missed. But I love a Goran that's feeling himself. Like, I truly enjoy watching him getting into his rhythm and just, like, not being afraid to try to take over games. And you need that. Like, look at Jay Crowder, man. Everything's coming to fruition for this team. Jay Crowder on a night where Jimmy Butler can't find a shot, can't find that rhythm offensively. Jay Crowder has stones.
He took 12 threes.
Like, serious stones.
He had the second most minutes tonight on the Heat. And
then Derrick Jones Jr. comes off the bench. Iggy goes down. And I know we're all scared because Iggy's really that
scared.
Guy off the bench. Yeah, and
I owe Derrick an apology.
They said he could have came back in a game. I don't believe it.
Nah, no shot. That looked bad. But even a guy like Derrick Jones Jr., man, he comes in and it's like he's not afraid. Like, I'm really shocked that just how well all these guys are playing, really. Like, we can't take this for granted these first two games because, like, how can we expect these guys to keep this up? Like you shouldn't be able to, but I hope they do, for God's sake. Like, I hope they do, but we can't take that for granted because every single person is playing their role so well.
On the opposite side of that, though, when you look at just cruising the box score, the Bucks were 7 for 25 from three. Like, I was surprised to see that. I didn't realize how much they were missing. They shot 28% from three after 25 attempts. Like, that's got to average out into the mean. Like, they're not going to shoot that poorly next game, right? And this was a game that was the last 30 seconds or so was called by the refs, essentially. But there was two horrible inbound plays. Like, I don't know what the looks were on those two inbound plays from the baseline and from the other side of the half court. It was horrible. It looked like a JCC game, right? Like, who is drawing up these plays?
I have to tell you, like, the Bucks probably went 7 for 25, but they had so many threes that were fouled, and they made all three free throws.
Yeah,
so it's like they kind of averaged out.
Yeah. Are we seeing more? Are we seeing more jump shooters being fouled than ever before?
Yeah.
In the bubble, is that just
no,
me
it's
or
for sure.
Is
no,
everybody
it's for
else
sure
more whistles for sure?
I think that in the kind of antiseptic environment, the refs can hear better, like fouls, like, you know, when you get a slap on the wrist or whatever. And I think without all the like overload of external sensory experiences, the referees can kind of key in on like kind of certain things a little better when you don't have like a huge crowd and there is some more space on the baseline. So I just think that they get better vantage points. So like they call the games a little tighter, which, to be honest, I know that today wasn't a great example of that.
I mean, did
really
you think that Middleton three
run
was a foul or not?
Oh no, of course not. I mean, to be honest with you, I took exception to that Bam foul as well, the Bam flagrant foul, because like when you're a guy like Middleton and you're in a guy like Bam's face, and I know that they called it by the rule of the law, but I mean, Bam has his hands over his head, and Middleton is like a foot shorter than him. What the fuck is Middleton going to do? What is he doing in that space other than asking, like, you know what I mean? Like, Bam's trying to, Bam had no room to turn. He's trying to, I mean, he's on his side. He has to pivot to start dribbling or pass it anyway. So, I mean, Middleton has no, if it's Brook Lopez, it's a little differently. It's a little different, right?
Because the way it was called, right? Like the referee on the other end of the court, 5 seconds later comes in with the call. But once it goes to replay, that's one of those where you know that's gonna be changed to a flagrant, right? Like that's just one of those
fucking elbow made contact with his face. Like what? How do you look at that and be like, ah, it's not excessive? Well, yeah, shit, when you look at it that way, but I don't know.
Gianni, just real quick, he's only 2 inches taller than him. I just wanted to make sure you were aware.
I just want to say that's with the wingspan, it just didn't look. Come on, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna make a play on the ball? Like, come on, man, get out of here. I don't know. And I'm not like ref guy, right? Like I the Heebie chat, like at a certain point in the game, I'm like, yo, the Bucks and the Heat have like the same amount of free throws right now. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, a call that, you know, you could have easily not called on the Heat side, you know, essentially iced them the game. So I think the refs were really bad on both ends. And it was just like, it really took a lot of guys out of rhythm. And it just, I thought the game at like the last 5 minutes of the game are just really tough to watch with all the officiating that was going on. Christian, something that I thought was a little interesting today, and this was partly because Andre went out, Spo really went to Bam and Kelly together. And they went to the two big lineups. And that's something that I know that we don't have a big, I know for the season they were about even. I think toward the end it started to creep up a little bit more into the positive. For the last couple of years, we've been big Kelly and Bam together people. I kind of like that for them going forward, especially if Andre is going to be out. You get a little more size. Why are you shaking your head and laughing?
Because I love when you speak things into existence. I literally open up the advanced tab for the game tonight, and guess who had the best defensive rating on the Heat tonight?
Kelly
Olynyk at 97 defensive rating.
Maple Dick, which
was 7 points per 100 possessions lower than any other Heat player. Like, God. I mean, he did it all tonight in the sense that he did a bunch of the little things that nobody really pays attention to that make a big difference. He was setting good screens. He was making good decisions. Like, that's why the one I'm out there. And he is, I also didn't realize this, that he's one of the highest rated perimeter shooters among all the bigs remaining in the playoffs. So he provides spacing. Like Kelly
hit a big shot,
and he always hits big shots, and that's why you want a guy like that out there.
You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Yeah. I think also with like the aggressive Bucks drop scheme, you know, and that now they're mixing stuff up a little bit. Like they're switching the guard on guard screen sometimes. They're even having Lopez kind of play a little higher up, especially when Goran's doing it, because they know what a threat he is on the screen, especially when Bledsoe's not involved because he's so good at going over, right? So you have all this happening. And Kelly's a guy that can take the handoff and go right to the rim, or he can pop and shoot. And that's just, I think the variety in Miami's offense, the shot diet's really good. They haven't really gone into their bag of dribble handoffs as much. I think it's been a lot more pound the ball up top and kind of work your angles. I mean, the Bucks defense is going to do that. That's actually surprised me a bit. And it kind of makes sense when you watch it. And this is something that Nakia said in our preview podcast. This is going to be a lot more of a pick and roll series than a dribble handoff series, because Miami is going to be able to get north-south a lot easier than east-west because of the lateral movement of the Bucks players. And you can see that with a guy like Wes Matthews, who's doing a great job going over screens. Chris Middleton's doing a great job, especially with those Duncan Bam dribble handoffs. I mean, Duncan really hasn't had a chance to get going. And in a way, he's shooting really rushed. He's not really getting his feet super set. And I think he's playing well, but he's not able to kind of get in his bag like you'd want. So stuff like that's really interesting going forward.
Sorry, Gianni, really quickly. Hawk's flooding my group chat with him and Crowder saying that Duncan's rattled because Spo came out and told everybody he had zero confidence. So now everybody knows to just attack Duncan, limit his confidence. Hawk is convinced that Duncan is rattled. Totally.
Why? Come on, what?
There was a feature that came out today from Ramona Shelburne.
Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, and then there was that play where I think it was Chris Middleton, but it might have been Wesley Matthews, literally just took the ball from him. Like, it was.
Oh, that was bad.
It was on the it was in the corner, and he just snatched the ball from him. So I don't know, like Hawk. And then there was an air ball a couple moments later. Like,
you know what that reminded me of when he got the ball stats? It reminded me of Kirk Heinrich taking the ball from Chris Bosh when the 27-game win streak ended. Do you remember that? I'll never forget that play. He snatched the ball from him in the corner, and I was like, no, it felt like they lost game 7 of the finals. That shit felt like every one of those games.
The last 10 games during that win streak, it was like Miami was down 20 at one point every single game, and they would battle back. By the way, you bring up Kirk Heinrich. Just make sure you love James Posey a little more every single time I think of Kirk Heinrich.
Listen, there's a lot. Leif has been calling Jay Crowder James Posey on this team. So he's filling the James Posey role.
Jay Crowder's better.
At least it's not a Dito Spitas or whatever the fuck his name is calling him Jamison Crowder in game one.
What's his name?
Spito Ditas? Dito Spitas? Whatever his name is.
What is this? Who is that?
Spiro Ditas. He's an NFL.
God awful.
He did say Jamison Crowder like 10 times. So yeah. I did laugh at that.
And the way.
Guys, what's. Go ahead.
No, just the way he says Giannis Antetokounmpo. I guess he's Greek, so he pronounces it like per. Giannis.
And he says it with a D, right? He says Antetokounmpo with a D.
Yes. It just everything about Spiro Ditas.
Is he Greek? I didn't know that he was Greek.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
No, but just stop. Like it's Giannis Antetokounmpo, right?
Like, but it's like you pronouncing Hispanic names. You always do it where you say that Hispanic flair and feels like shut up.
Today I pronounced Ibiza on air like that.
The worst. God, I hate you.
Do you say Hernandez or Hernandez? Like how do you approach that?
Hernandez for sure.
That's how you got to do it. You know, like, that's how you got to do it.
I am Dito Spiras then.
You are the Uruguayan. Yo, guys, I haven't felt this way about the Heat. I've akin this to 2016, but I think I might have to go back a little farther than that. The way I felt for these games, the fucking I'm still shaking from what's gone on. I don't remember the last time I could make a fair comparison that I've come to the point that I think this team could win the fucking title. And I wasn't there.
Whoa.
I wasn't there a week ago. I wasn't there a month ago. I have not been. Christian, you can attest to this. I have not been there all season. I said, if they get to the second round, you fucking take that. And I'm at the point right now that I'm like, Why not?
Look at the timing of how this is working out, too. Imagine if the Celtics sweep and the Heat sweep. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to pause the Eastern Conference playoffs to kind of wait for the Western Conference playoffs? Or are they going to go right into it? Because if they go right into it, that series is going to finish way before the Western Conference playoffs. So then Spo's going to have a week plus to prepare. These guys are going to be fully rested, fully healed. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Jimmy's wrist. He's gonna be better, Kawhi. I mean, like legit though, like I think Spoelstra has coached circles around Bud. Obviously, poor Nate McMillan. And this is where having probably the best coach in the league is gonna help you, like every time, right? Like Miami has a plan for everything the Bucks do. Giannis at the five, they have a plan for that. Guard screening for Giannis, they have a plan for that. Right, Giannis as a roller, they have a plan for that. Miami is so fucking prepared. And Leif said it best. Spo has been planning for this all season long. Bud just started to plan for this. And that's the advantage that Miami's going to have. That nobody else is. I mean, like, Miami very knew early on who their matchup is going to be. They knew who they wanted to beat. And having a coach like Spo, that's where it pays.
I don't really buy that.
You think they've really planned for Orlando for every single game, not thinking that they were going to play Miami?
Who?
The Bucks.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that Spoelstra's had the whole year to prepare for this.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean.
And that's kind of the point Leif was making.
I agree with that point, Brian, just because I don't think Milwaukee, prior to where we find ourselves today, was afraid of Miami. I really don't. All the narratives about how well we played them in the regular season, like, I don't think Milwaukee, I don't think Giannis or Bud actually thought, okay, Miami's going to take us to 7 and beat us, or Miami's going to beat us, or they'll be up 2 games to nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think Miami knew we need to beat Milwaukee if we want to get to where we're going.
Yep.
And like, and maybe they haven't been planning since day one to play them this way, right? But they focused on Milwaukee, I think. And I don't think you can say that for Milwaukee focusing on Miami. I think they're just looking at it as, okay, another Eastern Conference team we have to get to before we get to the finals again.
Is that because of a lack of star power for the Heat? Right? Because when you look at the inverse, right, the Heat are getting ready for a very top-heavy team.
Right.
But once you get past Giannis, once you get past Chris Middleton, once you get past who is even that third person? You want to say Lopez?
George Hill.
Bledsoe, like... Mm-hmm. Again, the drop off is steep. So the Heat have such an interesting team, right? They have Jimmy, who supposedly is their best player, yet they have anybody on any given night that can be the best player, as we just saw Goran beat. The Heat have, in my opinion, one of the best collective teams still left in the playoffs right now, because you can go down from, let's say, 1 to 7 on a rotation and they're playing well. Like, when you look back at the Bucks, who's playing well outside of Middleton, Brooke Lopez, and Giannis? Anybody?
George Hill's had some nice minutes.
Yeah.
Nice minutes. But that's what we're going to call them, nice minutes. That's like a little montage earlier, right?
Hopefully.
They're nice minutes.
Hopefully that ankle doesn't heal too well, though. Still that in there.
I'm going to throw you guys what may be the craziest stat of the playoffs. When Giannis is on the court for the Bucks, they are -14.8 per 100 possessions. Giannis in 72 minutes. When Giannis is off the court in 24 minutes in 2 games, the Bucks are +15.
Tonight they went on a run with Giannis on the bench. Yeah.
And it's felt that way. Mm. Like, Miami is so keyed in on, we are here to stop Giannis. And they've succeeded. I mean, they're blowing the doors off of them when he sits. No Buck, who Chris Middleton and Korver are the only Bucks, and Lopez is about even, are the only Bucks that are positive when they're on the court. Again, small sample size, but the fact that the Bucks are winning the non-Giannis minutes and losing the Giannis minutes, I thought this would be the complete opposite, and we were hoping that they would survive the Giannis minutes.
Why'd you wait 30 minutes to drop that? Should have started the show with that damn stat.
I just kind of thought of it. I mean, I was like, man, I don't plan these shows ahead of time, right? We just kind of hit record and we go. Yeah. And as for navigating, I'm like, you know, I kind of feel like the Heat have kicked their ass when Giannis plays, and it's gotten dicey when he sits. I was like, let me check this. And I did. I appreciate Ann for kind of filling time while I was looking. I was like, I hope Ann keeps talking.
I saw you. In the glasses on your screen, I saw something going up and down. Said, let me keep filibustering, and I'll do it again for a second. It's funny how we say we stopped Giannis, right? He had 29 points and 14 rebounds and 10 from 18 from the floor. Like, that's stopping him.
You're like, oh. Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's funny because we've been on the other end of that as Heat fans with LeBron and Dwayne, right? So, like, Dwayne will go off for, like, 34 and 5, right? And it's, like, 45% shooting. And other teams are like, we slowed down Dwayne. And we're just like, you're kind of right. Like, we've been on the other end of that as well, especially LeBron. He'll have a triple-double and he'll play, like, you know, play subpar. And they'll be like, we did our job.
So what's the Bucks game plan now? Because obviously, like, they stopped Jimmy and they still fucking lost.
I mean, I think that it's pretty clear that they're going to count on Miami shooting not to hold. And Kristen's like, yes! I mean, that's what the Bucks do. The Bucks have held to math. They're like, okay, beat us with your other guys.
Yeah,
beat us with
your seven shooters. Players scored over 10 points. First time in playoff history for
Miami.
They're
going to say, do it again. They're gonna say, do it again. I don't know what else. I mean, so we haven't even touched on Andre. If Andre doesn't play, that's a legit problem. And this is probably what I should have waited 30 minutes to get to. Derek Jones, I owe you an apology. Derek, I'm sorry. I was scared when you got in the game. I thought this was all, I was in the group chat like, they can't win with Derek minutes. Derek set one bad screen and I'm like, he's a dog shit screener. This is going to be awful. Christian gave me a thumbs down in the Twitter chat. I'm like, this is horrible. He Giannis is going at him. He's feasting. And it didn't matter because
yeah, three blocks, two forced turnovers. Yeah. I mean, get out of here.
King shit.
There was a really cool video on the timeline right now. It's from Taylor Rooks. She remember how like the last game they panned Jimmy Butler leaving the arena and then he saw Jimmy Butler, he pointed Pat. At Pat in the stands. He was and Pat did like the little swinging Tiger Woods motion.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically this time Jimmy Butler told him, "You're healthy, we don't have to worry about no heart attacks."
What does that mean? What is Pat doing? I'm watching the video right now. Pat's like over, like doing the X sign.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's going on here?
I don't know, but I love it. That's my new thing too,
bro. That video of Jimmy pointing to the sky and then Riley doing that thing. I mean, that's a fucking legendary video already. I mean, it's already in the pantheon of like Heat Twitter shit.
Do you think? Do you think Pat's gonna feel weird if all he needed to do to win a championship was just trade Josh Richardson and some other things, yeah. Like, and he didn't actually have to trade everyone? Do you think he's gonna be like,
what happens if the Heat win a championship this year? Do they?
They're just like, they accidentally went ahead of schedule.
Yeah, like, does Pat Riley retire off the Malibu before 2021 free agency? who's pitching? Is it just Shane Battier?
All I know is that the Zoom parade is going to be lit. That's all I know. I know that we're all in on the Zoom parade. That's a good question. That's so weird.
Can we moderate that?
Are you guys worried about Andre? Are you guys worried about Derek keeping this up? With Andre not in the game, because he's been absolutely tremendous this postseason, and I've been an Andre skeptic since the trade happened.
Have you guys seen if there's any reports of like a negative X-ray or anything like that?
Haven't not seen anything.
Okay, because I'm still waiting for it. But I don't know.
It looked bad.
I kind of think. I mean, they said he was going to come really back into the game. So how bad is it if he's willing to come back? I mean, Luka Doncic looked really bad too, and he still came back.
They could have just been saying that, though, just to get, you know, get a little bit of a fake news out there.
Yeah, you know.
Because if you can't shoot a free throw, right, if you're struggling during the free throws, like, that tells me, hey, look,
still
you're not
made
ready
two
to
three. You know, those 2 points were crucial because the Heat won by 2 points.
They were. They literally were. Every point is crucial, Brian.
Very true.
It's true. Especially in a two-point game.
Although Jimmy Butler says if the game did happen to go overtime, we were still going to win that game.
Yeah, okay, whatever. If that game went overtime,
I think we would have lost without
one of the one of the refs would have literally taken Jimmy out.
Especially no Bam. Yeah. Could you imagine five minutes of basketball, no Bam? Oh my god, I was dreading that so hard.
That's a lot on KO. I love KO, but oof.
By the way, great foul on Bam trying to get Giannis to the foul line, because if he didn't foul him, Giannis would have had that dunk easily and he missed those two free throws.
For sure. And he missed both. I'm a little. No, go, Alex.
I was just gonna ask, and I don't want to turn the conversation somewhere else. But what do you guys? How do you like that play? I don't know if it was designed, but it seems like it was. Where 4 seconds left on the game clock, and Jimmy's catching the ball in the corner.
It was terrible.
To go ISO. I don't like when they do that set in the corner. Like if there's 4 seconds left, let Jimmy. And again, I could be wrong, but it seems like he works better top of the key. And there's just more space in general. Like, why force him into a corner? And, I mean, it worked out. But, again, like, that might happen again later on in the playoffs. I don't like that.
Yeah. I'm not really, like, that was a day that I don't think I would have gone to Jimmy. And I know Goran was kind of cold at the end of that game. But I just thought Goran was getting to his spots better than Jimmy. And even though Goran was missing the shots, I think that's a situation that, you know, Jimmy's a good decoy. Right, so you kind of run him off the screen, and then Goran runs like a dummy play or something, and you get Gore on the ball kind of going downhill.
Jay Crowder was open, yeah.
Well,
by the
Tyler
way.
Tyler Herro was open on that one play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like he was going to get
Tyler
the ball.
Tyler Herro was also open that one play that Goran just totally didn't look his way.
Yes, yes.
That probably would have sealed the game right there, I feel like. There's a lot of moments.
That's another guy, Ant. That guy's big time, dude. And I, you know,
with Tyler Herro?
Yeah, dude. That guy.
We've been waiting a long time to talk about him. So it's been what, 40 minutes on this podcast, we haven't talked about Tyler Herro.
There's a lot of shit happening. Did you
he's
not see
20
that game?
Years old. He's 20 years old, and crazy. He's bodying people in the lane, like using his offhand, like hitting big shots from the top of the key. Like he's got stones. This is somebody, and I know we talk a lot about it on the show. Dan says that he's got, you know, people inside that said that they like seeing Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson as a very poor man's Clay and Steph, right? So when I use that formula in my mind and seeing Tyler Herro do this at a young age, it like gets me excited because he's still a baby, still a puppy trying to figure out why his legs do this, right? He's kind of like stumbling around and stumbling into success, and being that young and being that good, it's like, it's
crazy.
I know the comps have been, oh, could he be as good as Zach LaVine, right? And then you kind of think about, you're like, Zach LaVine. Yeah, you're like, ah, that's kind of whack. I don't give a shit about Zach LaVine. Like, what do you guys think Tyler's ceiling is?
Clay.
Clay? You think it's Clay?
Yeah. I'm not even, no, I know that sounds crazy.
Defensively, they're not on the same level.
But you could say that, but I think that's, I'm not saying he's a great defender, but to say that he hasn't gotten better every single game defensively, I think is coming up short. Like he's clearly just been a better defender. I get it. Like there's deficiencies there, but he's gotten so much better this season, and specifically in the bubble. Like I don't think it's crazy to say at 20 years old, he's playing this well in the playoffs, has this type of confidence in the playoffs, in key situations, and supposed trusting him late.
Yeah.
Game two against the Bucks. Man, like, I think it's Clay. I do. I really see it.
I'm going to give you a name here. And you may not like it, but really think about it. What about something like a Lou Williams with some more versatile shooting? A guy that can shoot off the dribble, that can spot up, that has a really good handle, that's getting to the line, that's forcing the issues, that when you kind of catch the ball coming off the pick, you can go left, you can go right, you could take it to the basket, you can pull up for mid-range. You kind of have that whole offensive game. You have some questionable ability on the defensive end, but again, it's not a one-to-one comp. But I do think that, and I've said this for a while, like I've always thought that he has enough in the bag with the step back, with the going to the basket, and I think the free throws, especially toward the back half of the season in the bubble, are the only thing that I didn't know if he'd be able to get it, because he doesn't really get separation like Lou. But that hasn't been an issue. That guy's getting into the basket. I mean, and that possession he had, he made Brook Lopez look stupid, right? He kind of goes in, brings him out. I mean, that's like veteran. That's like vet shit. You know what I mean? Like the way that he and Nunn have played, they play so under control, so calm for 20 and 24 year olds, right? Rookies in the league, that when the game kind of slows down for you that way, when you're playing pick and roll, when you're kind of working the offense and you're working these angles, and for you to be so patient and for you to not rush things, to take things at your own pace, and you dictate how the defense is going, that's huge for people their age and with their level of experience. And that's something that you don't see with rookies ever.
It's a byproduct of coaching, right? That to me is what it looks like, because you look at rookies across the league and they don't have that patience. And I know Kendrick Nunn being 24, I mean, we call him a rookie, but he's more advanced as far as age goes and as far as experiences. But when you have those guys playing at that level, that the game is almost slowed down for them, that tells me that the coaching has been elite from the get-go. Because when you come into the league, you're not supposed to be able to do that, right? Like, you're not supposed to be able to throw a lob pass to Bam through three defenders and make it look easy. You're not supposed to be able to take – well, maybe you can. Brook Lopez is not a great defender, but that's not the point. The point is, you're not supposed to be able to take somebody off the dribble like that and make them look that stupid. To me, it's very encouraging to see. And one play in particular, too, was he had it at the top of the key, Tyler. He drove past, I don't remember who it was, if it was Bledsoe, if it was Middleton or somebody. He gets to the middle of the paint, loses the ball, right? Gets the ball back, goes down the baseline, turns around and hits like a little 10-foot jumper. And I was like, oh, okay, that works. Like, he's got a really advanced skill set for being this young.
20 years old. Riz McGiz tweeted this out earlier. It's like, so like, how does the alcohol situation work in the bubble for Tyler? Does Jimmy have to go to the bar and like get him something and bring it back to, like, he's totally drink, like, right? Like, this is no way that like this guy who's a, like, he's not drinking in the bubble, but like technically he's not allowed. Is this reckless? Am I being reckless?
Nah.
No, come on.
Who's the player? Because not Udonis. Udonis is a very strict uncle. Who's the player that's going to get Tyler the drink at the bar?
Jay Crowder.
Oh, you think it's Jay?
Ooh.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it is Goran, dude. I think Goran's kind of that front uncle.
I think Goran?
Yeah. Goran just wants to be liked by the kids.
Yeah, and he's
here. I got Kelly Olynyk sliding him a beer across the
across the counter.
Bar. A Molson. Is that a Canadian beer? I don't know.
I'm asking Labatt Blue.
Sundays are back in the NFL. Watch NFL Sunday Ticket.tv. You could stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite device. Plus, Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. We're welcoming in another person on the show. We are now up to six people. This is a classic Heat Beat episode. Our professional screw-up, Alex Toledo, fresh off his Five of the Floor appearance.
Once again, coming on as an unnecessary sixth guy, and everybody groans. Here I am, baby.
You're giving us Derek Jones minutes. Right now, you're filling the DJJ minutes. We just got to hope that this is a positive. We just got to hope that we're not outscored in your minutes. And whatever 2-3 minutes we have left of the show.
And I'll try to hit the one open three, all right?
I mean, he didn't even do that. But defensively, 3 blocks. I can't even hate on Derek. Alex, real quick. We've talked a lot. We've kind of hit everything. What's the one thing that you really take away from this game?
I mean, wow. That's a broad question.
That's a very encompassing. I mean, I don't even know where to go. I mean, we're just talking about who's buying Tyler alcohol in the bubble. I don't know. Unless you want to answer that.
I mean, goddamn. That game was just so up. Who's buying Tyler alcohol? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, that's where we've ended up. Right, we're stealing content from Riz McGiz's timeline.
You just put me on the spot, but if I had to go with one, who would it be? Who's like reckless enough or like?
You're the only credential media member here. Come on, I mean, isn't this what they pay you for?
Pay me? No, but
isn't this what Ethan Skolnick pays you the big bucks for?
This is why you left
you're
us.
Big time.
Define big bucks. No, but I think the answer here. I think it might be Kelly, man. I don't know why. Something about Kelly is
let's
like,
go, dude.
All
let's
right,
go.
Man. I'll get you a beer, young guy.
I like that. That's a good answer. My next guest was Solomon Hill.
It's really
Solo. Hey, he's got to be there for something, right?
Nah, that's the crossover master, friend of the show, by the way.
Don't be surprised when he comes in to Guardianis next game.
Ant's out here. You know, when I went on Levitard the other day. Ann is out here making fun of me because I name dropped Solomon Hill.
The other day?
How long ago was
it
that?
It was the other day.
So riding that high. Ant made fun of me for name dropping Solomon Hill on the podcast. you made fun of me in front of America.
Did DG do a good appearance on that? Is he ever coming back?
He did. No, he did an excellent appearance. And I coached him prior.
I checked the Reddit. They didn't like me.
Does Reddit like anybody, Gianni?
Hard on me. No, Reddit likes them. Reddit loves Ant.
Yeah, Reddit loves me, but who doesn't? No, here's the thing. I coached him in the beginning. I was like, look,
an asshole.
You gotta give me a little bit of stats. You gotta give me a little bit of nerd. Then you gotta give me a little bit of bullshit. But he did a perfect job.
We did Disney talk.
It was the other day too.
I liked it.
So can he come on tomorrow's spot?
Brian's out here trying to leverage appearances for me, like
a home and home. You want to do a home and home?
Yeah. Brian's the agent that's negotiating in front of me at the dinner that I didn't ask for.
Should we bump George Sedano or should we bump
Amino Hassan? Oh, get
George the hell
out
of there!
Get George the fuck out of there! I mean, come on.
How many times have you had George on? Probably.
Ask George if he'd still rather be the Sixers. We need to pound this on a national. I want George on a fucking huge platform,
please.
The biggest platform in sports to say I'd rather be the Sixers. Make him answer for those words.
Wait, is George in the bubble?
No.
No, like that's 5 a.m. He'll probably want to sleep. He doesn't even want to be on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. And if he does go on, make him answer for those crimes, Ant. Make him answer. Would he still? That's still the most offensive take. I mean, we have Stephen A. Smith and all these people say, you know, we're old takes exposing them with other Jimmy Butler takes. I mean, we're still getting Sedano from like fucking 6 years ago.
It's getting to him too. Like you can tell the last couple of responses.
It's wearing on him.
Yeah,
he's getting shook.
I've been ragging on him for the turtleneck bit, and
I
got him that one time that I don't even remember what the question was, but
Sedano's constantly under
him.
Fire. I'm seeing.
He is.
Sedano, if you're listening, keep the turtleneck. I like it.
He said something a little controversial on our show on Monday. Actually, Hawk asked him if you could have one restaurant from South Florida that you're missing, or like right now. And he answered Flanny's. And I love Flanny's.
That's a great answer.
Hold on.
I love
Flanny's. There's zero. Now,
apparently you don't.
No, zero Flanny slander. But you're telling me that if you could have one restaurant from South Florida, you live in LA, you haven't had Cuban food, he's Cuban from Hialeah, and you could have one restaurant, you're going to choose Flanny's. Like, bro, I love
said
Flanny's.
Restaurant, not cafeteria.
Yeah.
Was it a chain or any restaurant?
There's no any restaurant.
Any
possible.
Restaurant?
Any,
I don't
you
know.
Could choose.
That's a lot.
One place to go eat, and he chose Flanny's. I'm just saying. I think that's
do you
that's
put
that
on the spot, man.
Do you think that's George trying to appeal to the people?
I think it
well,
is.
That's, I think Flanny's and this is gonna sound terrible, uh-oh. But I think Flanny's has built up this Twitter reputation where like.
Oh no, Alex! Don't do it, Alex.
I love Flanny's. I have
no. Stop saying that.
I have
stop to saying.
I'm helping
no,
you. I, Alex, first, I care about you.
The first restaurant I ate that I got takeout from after like the quarantine kind of got a little like chill was Flanny's. Like I love Flanagan's.
No,
bro,
you don't.
How could Flanny's be the number one choice?
What's yours? What's yours? Okay, settle it. What's yours?
Chicken Kitchen.
What the hell?
Get him out of here.
Like, you're going to throw Chicken Kitchen when you're comparing it to a rib roll? Get the hell
I don't know.
That
I
shit
know.
Is garbage.
That's even better than Pollo Tropical. I mean, I don't know what you're talking
Three
about.
Three Chefs is better
that
than
is
all
the
of them.
Worst answer. I was like, you could have possibly
chicken,
come
chicken
up with
Chicken fucking
fuck
Kitchen. Get out of here.
It's so mid.
They give you fucking 3 pieces of chicken. I'm pissed every time I go there.
Chicken.
I promise every time I'm never going
to
go back.
Yo, you cover that dry ass chicken in curry, though? Good.
Yeah, exactly. You have to drown it in curry for
cilantro
it to taste good.
Cilantro garlic? I mean, come on. I mean, for a nominal fee of $7.99, you know?
Yeah, out of here with that whitewash Pollo Tropical.
Yo, while we're on the food topic, tell people about your project for the Levitard and Friends. And I see you on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what you're doing.
It's really good,
man.
It's really good.
It's awesome. Thank you. So on the Mystery Crate, which is one of our spinoff podcasts that, you know, me and the Shipping Container do, really anybody can kind of do stuff on Mystery Crate. But I felt that there was a lack of coverage on the local food spots in Miami with the chefs that are kind of behind them. So I went on a pilgrimage, an ongoing pilgrimage, to talk to some of the best culinary minds in Miami. So it's called Let's Eat. We've done 2 episodes so far. The first one was on at Bodega on the beach, which is probably the best taco spot in Miami.
It's up there. Agreed.
Bernie Matz, my boy, shout out to him. And second episode was dropped on Wednesday. I did Jay Wakefield. Oh, me, nice. John, and the team over there, we chopped it up, talked shit. It's a really cool project, and I'm excited because this is something that is blending both of my worlds together, being food and media and sports and all that. So it's really cool.
Is that you have video on that too? Because I know that you guys film.
I do.
Like on YouTube somewhere, like where people can
yes.
check that
so
out.
So here's, yeah. So it's going to be actually, we've been trying to work it out because I'm heading the Levitard and Friends Twitch page and like getting us off the ground with, you know, some of the watch parties and different things that we're going to be doing there. So what I'm thinking is we're going to do kind of like a live director's cut where we debut the episodes visually on Twitch, and I'll be there kind of talking shit with people back and forth. We can do a little bit of like a director's cut behind the scenes on the episode, so you can stay tuned for that. I'm gonna trying to get through legal stuff and making sure that everybody's cool with, you know, certain things, and it's not easy when you have such a high bureaucratic level where we're at the moment.
I hate Ant. Let me just say I hate Ant with all my heart. But no joke, this project is really cool. Like, I enjoy it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Even I'm not going to do Flannies, even though I love Flannies. I'm not going to
do
that.
Are you going to do Chicken Kitchen? Are you gonna hit him?
I hate Chicken Kitchen.
Yo,
I hate
me too, dude. So fuck bad. That. I don't like it. That's like
three chefs and a chicken is better. Three chefs like, and a chicken is better. You can agree with that.
I'm a Boyer lifer, but I agree with you that three chefs is good.
Right there on 57th, right next to Sunset Place.
People stand La Granja. I've not been to La Granja, but people like.
It's good. Solid. It's solid. Yeah.
Like,
it's good.
A little greasy.
It's a lot of food.
A little greasy.
Yeah.
People swear by that shit. Also, you know what?
Actually, Hispanic food. Actual Hispanic food at La Granja.
Actual. Okay, look at Alex over here.
Yeah, that is true.
Greasy and a lot of food? Sounds legit.
I mean, this is perfect for hangovers. Kind of at the end of the show, I want to give a couple of announcements for some new stuff that we're doing here on the podcast. So first thing is that we started a Discord server. I'm going to tweet the link out. So if you don't have that, we're also going to throw that in the description of the podcast. I know that people have kind of talked about it, and we have a little Discord server set up to kind of build a community there for maybe those of you that aren't on Twitter or those that are on Twitter that want something a little less cluttered and a little more intimate. So I'll be on there. We'll be talking during games. We'll be doing some fun stuff on Discord. So we're going to throw that into the description and on the Twitter account. The other thing that we're going to start doing is that we're going to start streaming soon. We are also starting a Twitch channel. We're setting it up. We're planning really cool things with it. I'm really excited for it. We have a guy that's helping us out. Shout out to Brian M, who's been phenomenal helping us out. So we're going to get that going hopefully by next week. It's been something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And now that I have a computer that actually has RAM capabilities, we're going, baby. We're going places. I got a computer, got lights. We're set up over here. So I'm really excited for that. I don't think there's any time to end on a joke because we're still running late. But I did want to spotlight that stuff that we're doing here on MHB and kind of going forward. Also, if you don't follow us on Instagram, check us out at MIHeatBeat over there. I post graphics, I post little videos, I post little polls. We have fun over there too. So if you want more, check that out over there. Make sure to check out Ant's work. Brian's raising his hand.
We have sick. Well, I was gonna try to close out the show. Keep going.
Oh, you raise your alley. You wanted to say something. Alex, where can people find you in your work?
Alex M. Solana and Hawk and Crowder show 2 to 6 p.m. Don't hate radio just because Ethan and Alf tell you to. Don't hate local radio.
Okay? And Alex, dude. Alex is out here.
Retweet.
Yeah, man.
You're heading the
retweet.
Retweet.
I get why I get it. I just want to say I get it. But, man, like, don't hate local radio just because you're like, why can't I love Miami Heat Beat? I love Five on the Floor. I support you guys. Just don't hate local radio just because now it's cool to hate local radio. That's
retweet,
all I'm saying.
Retweet.
Only hate Armando Salguero.
And you got him there. You got him.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.